Check. 1, 2, check. Amen. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word is going to be shared. Your word is going to be preached, Lord, to pierce the hearts of every single person who listens, myself inclusive, oh God. Your word is powerful. Lord, even as we heard from that testimony of this word this morning, when the Lord speaks a word, it changes our hearts, oh God. And I just thank you for, Lord, the preaching of your words this morning will change our lives, will change our hearts, will captivate us, oh God, would turn our lives around for you, for your glory, for your power, for your authority here on earth, oh God. We give you thanks, Lord, even as we listen to your word, let our hearts be ready to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Bert, for that introduction to my sermon. This morning I'll be speaking on something that I've spoken on before. It's just a part two of that message, and it's on meditation. Amen? How many of you can remember when I preached that sermon? Okay, you can't remember. That's good then. So you won't even know if I've said everything I'm going to say again this morning before, because the word of God is always new. Amen? Yes. Regardless of how many times we've heard it, and which is actually the topic, meditation, which we're supposed to speak the word, know the word, recite the word, repeat it to ourselves, we speak it to ourselves. And you know the scripture that says, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but we shall meditate upon it. Niger will meditate upon that word of God day and night, that he might observe to do according to all that is written in that word of God, so that I will make my way prosperous and I will have good success. Amen? Does anybody know where that is taken from? Praise God. I'm not one to always learn how to, and I've said this before, I'm not good at memorizing words or scripture and all that, but I believe that shortcoming in my life, I should overcome it by meditating on the word of God. Amen? I mean, a lot of times, even when I lead songs, sometimes I have to look at the lyrics because I'm just not, maybe because I've not applied myself well enough to it. But I believe as a Christian, we must. It's not a matter of whether we should or we shouldn't. Like what Brother Bert was sharing this morning, that when the word of God comes to you, that rhema word that you need for your situation, it changes your life. Amen? There's so much around us that is trying to drain or trying to attract us and trying to take away our attention from God. And you know, one thing in our lives that we must always remember, whatever you're so conscious of or whatever you're so aware of will ultimately take control of you. Amen? Sounds confusing? If you're aware of so much fear in your life, that fear will actually grip you eventually and take control of you and almost destroy you. If you're so aware, you know, maybe somebody calls you and say, oh, you know, one of our classmates passed away about 2 weeks ago, and then they call you 2 days later and they tell you another one passed away, and you're so aware of, oh, death, death, you're going to start thinking, maybe it's my time to go. You know, you're going to be so captivated by that thought. And you should not be. Amen? You should let the word of God fill your hearts totally, to fill your hearts true and true, as in have the word of God be so conscious of what God wants to say to you. And you know, like, sorry, I'm going back to Brother Bert again, but it's just so timely that he shared that this morning, talking about the person who said, just let us walk in and let's go and praise God. You know, I'll be honest with you, I was standing at the back when everybody was supposed to be worshiping today, and I honestly could not sense a lot of gladness in the house of God this morning. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because you're so sad that I'm the one preaching and not Pastor Philip. I don't know. I mean, somebody actually told me that when they walked in, I shouldn't have come to church today. I said, why? He said, because you're preaching. I'm like, wow, you said that. No, true story. Somebody said that. He's raising his hands up. Look, quick. He's put his hands down. But he was just joking. He was just doing that to give me a light mood and all that. But, you know, we should be glad to come into the house of God. We should be excited to come into the house of the Lord. I tell you, people out there, they're going through all sorts of situations and circumstances that they cannot find solutions for, but we have the solutions. Amen. And when we walk in here, we should know we're coming. I mean, not because, yeah, this building is the only place where the deliverance or the salvation or the rescue of God resides. But just coming together to fellowship with one another, to worship Him together in that corporate anointing, to give us that hope that, yes, we're going to the house of the Lord. It's going to get better. Amen. You know, positivity, as in, that's what the world tries to, you know, a lot of people try to give you all sorts of stories now to get away of, move away all the negative vibes and take away all the, I think they call it negative karma or something. Please, let's just take on God. Let's just focus on God. And that's what this whole sharing is going to be about this morning, about meditation. Now, meditation is reciting or repeating or speaking God's word. We all constantly need to get to that place where we are meditating on God's word to make us grow. Now, the first question is, why do we meditate? Because God has commanded us to do so. As I said in the scripture that I shared earlier on, it was Joshua chapter 1. Sorry, can I just get you guys to go there, please? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And this was after Moses had died and had been laid to rest. Well, they didn't even know where he was buried, I don't think. And Joshua had taken over the mantle to lead the people of Israel. And the Lord was commanding him. And in verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." There can be bad success. I shared this the last time as well. There can be success that is not meant for you. There can be success that is absolutely not to have come to you, but you walk in it because your ways are not right with God. And that success eventually destroys you. And that's not good. Amen? We should all be praying for good success. The one that God wants us to have. The provision that God wants us to have when He supplies all our needs according to His riches. Amen. Now, why do we meditate? Because He's commanded us to do so. Another reason is to renew our minds. Amen. Can we just turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Does anybody know what that scripture says? Pastor got it. Praise God. Pastor is on fire today, man. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That is why we must spend time knowing the Word of God. That's why we must spend time studying, reading, and meditating on the Word of God. So that whatever it is that the world is trying to fill our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our thought patterns with, we get rid of all that filth. We get rid of all that doom and gloom that is around us. And we are transformed. Amen. To be transformed means we will be converted. We will be... I know there's some Transformer fans here. Or maybe they're not in this place. Where some funny figurine converts into something else. You know, you can change it from a car into a machine or whatever. But that's, I mean, transformation. As in, you go from being here to there. As in, you... It's like a 180 degree turn from what you were doing before. That's the word, what the Word of God does in our hearts. It transforms us. Amen? And it says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you make something new? How do you, from the old to the new, well, how do you change things? How do you make something new? It's not a trick question. It's just a simple question. You can repair it, you can restore it, you can paint it, you can clear out whatever is there. You know, to get a better picture of this, around Western Australia, around Perth, for instance, can anybody tell me some new things or new areas that you've noticed recently? Oh, so you guys go down that far. I thought you northerners would always... Sorry. Okay, what else? Elizabeth Keir, that was a good answer. Sorry? Oh, the new stadium. Okay. What else? Yeah, even just the road here. Amen. So those are things where there was nothing there before. There was only one lane coming up to church. Now they've made it two. They're going to extend the freeway, make it even longer. They're just making things new. And things are looking more different and they're looking better. That is how it is with our hearts and with our lives as Christians, by the renewing of our minds. It's absolutely new. You might remember what was there before, but all of a sudden, that old thing that was there before is totally eradicated. I can't even remember what Elizabeth Key looked like before, honestly. Can't remember it anymore because it's gone. Now we're going to have to go to a museum and look at pictures and go, oh my goodness, I remember that. Because everything is new. Another one that really gets my attention is the road leading to the airport. Everybody complains about that road. Oh, I can't find my way to the airport anymore. I got lost. It took me 10 minutes to get to the airport. There was a time in this same city, if you went to the airport between the hours of about 1 and 4 p.m., you could easily miss your flight because of the traffic around that area. It was horrible. Now the government has done the road and everything is all nice and beautiful, and we're still complaining. You don't know which turn off. You don't know how to turn off, blah, blah, blah. But it's a new thing. It's a new thing. And we should learn how to grab hold of the new. And that's what the Word of God does to us. You know, we were picked up from miry clay. We were picked up from darkness. We were living lives that were not productive for God. Those of us who have been saved and those of us who are saved, and we're told to renew our mind by the Word of God. Those old things, those old ways of thinking, those old thoughts, those old ways of conducting our lifestyle must change. Amen? And the scripture goes on to say that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you prove something? Test it. Thank you. How do you prove that it's good to know how to drive? You drive. How do you prove that it's good to know how to play an instrument? You learn how to play an instrument. You know, how do you prove that God is good? You serve Him, you worship Him, you study His Word. And that way, you put the Word of God, His promises, into practice. Whatever He has commanded you to do, you do it unto Him. Amen? And then you will be able to prove that He is good, that His Word is acceptable, and His Word is perfect. Amen? His Word is perfect. There's no imperfection in God. I mean, sometimes you ask yourself, well, Lord, why does this happen this way? Why does this happen that way? But His Word is perfect. He is a good God. And the reason that, I mean, for the very reason that you're in this room, that means you accept Him as your Lord. You know, I heard someone say this thing yesterday, that the Word of God will never offend you unless you don't know Him, unless you don't serve Him. Amen? For us in here, we're fine. We're here, we're Christians, we know the Word of God, we've accepted the Lord as our Savior, and we are here to listen to the Word of God. But you know, so many times you hear in public schools where somebody was trying to do something, especially during Easter time. You know, people are saying now they don't want to even say it's Easter anymore. Some chocolate maker is saying they don't even want to call their Easter eggs anymore. They just want to call it eggs, you know, because the Word of God is offensive to some people because they don't know Him. I mean, honestly, I don't even know what the connection of the egg is to Easter anyway, but we'll leave that for another day, another discussion. My wife was trying to explain it to me the other day, and sorry. Oh, no, she's going to say, so you don't even listen to anything. And I say, I do listen, yeah. I do listen there. She's the one that told me to wear shoes that match the color of the pulpit this morning. So if you don't like my shoes, just go talk to her. Praise God. They're trying to change the way we think. They're trying to change the way we talk, the way we see God. So that's why the Word of God is offensive to people who are not in His body. And we should not let that happen to us as Christians. The Word of God should never be offensive to us. Amen? We should always be meditating on the Word of God. That's the way we're going to know the victorious life that He has called us to, the deliverance He's done on the cross for us, the healing that we can enjoy, the hope that we have. I mean, some people are, you know, even the fact that He promised in His Word that He's coming back. Amen. Sometimes we lose sight of that. You know, we're just so here and now and captivated in what is going on here and now, and we forget that He's promised us that He's coming back again. Amen? That should make us excited. Some of us, you know, might go by way of the grave as in we'll die before He comes, but the Bible promises us that when He comes, all of us, Those who are dead and buried, every one of us will rise up and meet him. Amen. And we should look forward to that day. We should have that in our heart and have that as our hope that he's coming back. Amen. Now going on, we meditate on God's word. This is the third reason. The first one was because God has commanded us to do so. Second one was to renew our minds. And then, of course, the third one is we meditate to be approved by God. Can we please just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That simply, I mean, in today's English, be diligent in doing your homework. So that when you come before your teacher, Master God, Master Jesus, you would say, I've meditated on your word. I know what you've promised me. I know who I am in you through your word. And he would approve you because he knows that you know him. You know what makes him happy and what makes him sad. A lot of times as Christians, when we don't do the right thing, it's because we don't know the word of God. Amen? It's because we don't understand the word of God, or we've not spent time to meditate and reflect on the word of God, his promises, his commandments, his warnings to us, even things that we should not be doing in our lives. We don't know where we stand, and you know that's why we come here as Christians every Sunday. And thank God for Pastor Philip and the rest who preach here Sunday after Sunday. They share the word of God. They share what God is speaking into our hearts and what God wants us to know, and we grow. You know, I've been a Christian now for almost 29 years. Oh, thank you. She said she beat me to it. Of course, you're older than me. 29 years, which means ever since I got saved, one thing I told myself was this: I will always go to church. Always. And you know, out of 29 years, maybe there's been about what? If you can do the math, 29 times 50 Sundays or 52 Sundays? Somebody quickly, mathematicians. Wow. 14,500 Sundays. And maybe out of those 14,500 Sundays, I probably missed 20 or maybe 30. Because every Sunday, I tell myself, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? And I'm sure a lot of you are like that. I'm not saying this to brag or anything. And even though I would have loved to have probably applied myself to meditating on the word of God way more than I've ever done. But the more you come to listen to God's word, the more the word of God transforms you, captivates you, fills your heart. And you know, everywhere I go, it's the same word. Everywhere, every country I visit, that same word. You know, I tell my kids, everywhere we travel to, we'll try and visit the church as best as we can so that we know we're not on our own here in Zion. And, you know, we went to Nigeria in December, January, last year, this year. You know, and my kids were like, ah, thank God for Zion. We love Zion. Because we saw different churches with music, loud music. Oh, my goodness. Unbearably loud. I thought I liked loud music, but oh no, not this way. This one was like airplane or airport kind of decibels, which was very dangerous. But you know, we've been to so many churches to see how people worship God and how people have a love for God. And regardless of where you are, where you go, you should try to do the same thing as well. Just try and make time to just visit a church or fellowship with other people and see that same word of God at work wherever you go to. Amen? Now, I'm saying this to the younger people here who, if you want to fast track your Christian goals and not wait 29 years like I am to get to a place where you know it's God or nothing, start meditating on the word of God. Start letting that word of God dwell in you richly. Start letting that word of God captivate your thoughts. Start applying yourself to the word of God. Start taking time out to just say, okay, I have this issue in my life. What is the scripture I can apply to it? You know, in a lot of people are getting very conscious of this thing about mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, everywhere there seems to be a yoga class springing up, and there's all sorts of funny things to clear the mind. That is the way the world wants to do their meditation. They just want to sit down and then they cross their legs. I'm not going to do it because I can't do it. And then they sit down, cross their legs and meditate, and they empty themselves, absolutely just empty themselves. And some of them, they say they get transcended into somewhere, I don't know what it is, into La La Land or somewhere. But as Christians, that's not the way we meditate. Amen? As Christians, we say, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I will meditate on it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is in it. That Nigel will observe to do all that is written in the word of God, so that Nigel's ways will be prosperous. He would do the right things at the right time, and that Nigel would have good success. You should be saying the same thing, putting your name there to replace, you know, to replace where it says I or you. Put your name there to personalize the word of God, to make it yours. Praise God. And get rid of every negative thought. Because I tell you, there's more than enough negative doom and gloom outside there. We don't have to spend time meditating and focusing on that. But we dive into the word of God. We just dig deep into the word of God. We study, you know, and sometimes you might see a scripture that jumps out at you when you're reading the word of God. Take time out to just dwell on that word, study it, and try and apply it to yourself. Try and apply it to your situations and to your circumstances and see God prove himself. Amen? So meditation is not just emptying yourself. It's not just sitting down there and saying, I'm going to just clear my mind out, take away all negative thoughts, and then you now leave it empty and you don't fill it up with anything else. That's wrong. You get rid of negative. You, of course, you transform your mind by getting rid of the negative, but you replace it with the promises of God's word. Some of them are not even promises. Some of a lot of God's scripture is just instruction as well. Sometimes it's even warnings. If you don't do this, this will happen to you. Just knowing that word of God will help you navigate this crazy, dangerous world that we live in. Amen. I've said this so many times, and I probably sound like a broken record, but I will say it again. I feel for those kids who are growing up in this generation, the kind of exposure they have, the kind of things they see on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube. When we were growing up, we didn't have any of those things. If I had to watch a video, you get a VHS tape. And we didn't even have the VHS tape until I was probably about 11 or 12. And then you put it into something, you rewind. And my dad was so funny. My dad would actually keep the VHS player in his room until the weekend so that we couldn't watch it. Because he wanted us to focus on our studies. And he did the right thing. Honestly, he did the right thing. And as soon as we got back home on Friday afternoon, we'd be watching the time. Because he said, it was, I think, 6 p.m. on Friday afternoon, we can go and get the VHS player connected to the TV. And then we now start this movie marathon, which was just silly. But now our kids, their phone has it. Their iPad has it. Their computers have it. Sometimes they come and use your computer and your iPad. And, you know, there's just so much information, so much. But we need, as Christians, to remember the word of God. You know, those same devices that we use to be exposed to all these things can actually be excellent tools to have the word of God as well. Can be excellent tools to search, to do a study on the word of God. You just type in your computer. You can Google it. You can ask God, give me promises on healing. And Mr. Google will give you everything. Because somebody else has done the work to put it out there. So those same tools that sometimes can be distracting us from him can be used for his glory as well and for our growth. Amen? So please, I beseech you, especially the younger folk, please. Yeah, it may not be cool to know the word of God. It may not be fashionable to study the word of God. But I tell you, it is profitable when you do so. I've seen so many things happen in my own life that if not for God, I tell you, some things that I didn't even know was happening in the background, and God made a way for me because of that trust and that hope in him. Amen? So let us all continue to remember that and just do that as a lifestyle, putting him in remembrance of his word, trusting God for all things. Now, we're going to have some practical sessions this morning. Can I just get Sister Diane to put up the first one? How many of you know this scripture? So can we just go over it together. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let's say it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Let's say it once more. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Can we turn it off, please? Just blank. And I'm going to ask somebody to recite what we just... I'm not going to do that. Can we just say it again? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, you know, when you're going through times when you're confused, you don't know what to do, you need direction for something that you believe God, you know, you're at a crossroad, you don't know where to go left or go right. And you can speak to yourself, like the Bible says that David comforted himself. He spoke to himself, and you tell yourself, Nigel, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Nigel, do not lean on your own understanding. Nigel, in all of your ways, just say, God, I acknowledge you. You are in control of every single thing I do. And God will direct Nigel's path. Amen. Amen. So when you're feeling confused or you're feeling down and out, you don't know what to do, or, you know, there's a decision. And sometimes it's interesting that sometimes we're faced with two good decisions, to go left or to go right. That one looks good. That one looks good as well. And you don't know which one to do. Trust in God. And when He gives you, when He directs you, you will just sense that peace that comes from Him and Him alone. Amen? So let's just learn that. That scripture is one that we can say easily. So can I just get somebody to say, somebody bold enough? Amen. Thank you. Personalize it. That's it. See? It's that simple. If you just start leaning and looking at God's word. Can I just have the slide again? In that one, that word, the direct, I think it's a Hebrew word, yasha. It says to make straight. You'll be made straight. You'll be made upright and you'll be pleasing and good. That God will make you make the right decision that will be pleasing and good to Him. Amen? And that's another thing. You know, a lot of our study Bibles have little parts there that, you know, picked up one word, like direct was picked up from my Bible when I was studying this, and the direct then had this translation, which is yasha, which means to be straight, to be upright, to be pleasing, and to be good. And that's what the Word of God is there for. We learn, we trust in Him, and He will make things good. Amen? Now, another scripture for healing, holiness, redemption, and salvation. This one is in 1 Peter 2:24. And this one says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Amen? By His wounds you have been healed. So can we say that one to ourselves now? He Himself bore my sins in His body on the cross, so that I might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by His wounds I have been healed. Amen. Again, He Himself bore my sins on His body on the cross, so that I might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, I have been healed. This is a very good scripture, especially for people who are struggling with issues, with sin, with wrong decisions, with, you know, wrong affiliations, wrong friends and stuff like that. He has given us the power to die to sins. He's given us the power to live for righteousness. You know, that scripture alone is so powerful that we live a life of holiness. And then, You know, God in his goodness just says, after you've done all that, after you know that you've got the power over sin, you've got the power to live righteous, not because of your own power, but because he's giving you that power. He now tops it up and says, and by his wounds, you have been healed. Amen? You know, and that's why probably sometimes when people get sick, people would always ask you, I hope there's no sin in your life, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes it's a good question to ask because you're not living under the power of God's word. You fall into sin or you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, then you're not proving that the power of God's righteousness is in you or it's working for you. And because of that, your body starts behaving funny. But that scripture, whether it's your fault or not your fault, is here to say that by his wounds, we have been healed. Amen? By his stripes. That's what some translations say. And honestly, this, I think I got from New King James Version. Feel free to get any version that you're comfortable with. The Message Bible, the New Living Translation. As long as it doesn't steal away from the essence of what the Word of God is saying, just go into there, get the scripture in the language that you understand it. We've got some people here who speak French, and they prefer to pray in French when we had our life groups, because that's the language that they feel connected to. By all means, learn your scripture in French. Learn it absolutely inside and outside, because it would still work. The Lord Jesus didn't say it has to be in English or Hebrew. Thank God he didn't say that. As long as you understand it and you take it into your spirit and you take it into your heart, it will change your life. Amen? Now, the next one, for God's provision. This one, popular one, 4:19. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This one is a very easy one. So can we turn off the screen, please? And can we say this one together? And my God. Amen. So whatever need you have, are you in need of a job, of a spouse, of a new home, or you, whatever it is that you, and you know, it says needs. How do you know whether it's a need or a want? Go back to God. You probably need to apply that first scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then he will tell you whether that's a need or a want and whether you really need to have that thing or not. And then when you've settled that need and want thing with God, you now go back and say, you, Lord, you promised in your word. I remember I learned this as a very young Christian. The pastor that was in the fellowship that we used to attend on campus, he said, whenever we come to God, and I've always used this, whenever you come to God in prayer, always remind him of his word. Amen? Always remind him of his word. That, Lord, it says in your word. Even the Lord Jesus said it. It's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's the Lord Jesus quoted scripture every time he spoke and every time he did things. And likewise, we as Christians as well. We say, it is written, Lord, you said in your word that you will supply all my needs by your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And I come here and I ask for faith, if it's a faith you're looking for. I ask for peace, if it's peace you're looking for. Lord, I need your wisdom, if it's wisdom you're looking for. Lord, I need to just know that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Even though it looks like every single thing around me doesn't say that. You know, whatever it is or whatever area you find yourself in, always go back to God with his word. Now, this next scripture is a very scary one. I was thinking, should I share it or not? But we'll just share it anyway. It's in the word. Psalm 34. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or them out of them all. And her too, of course, not just him, not just Nigel, Julie, Dolly, Andrea, Amelia, all the ladies in the house, Auntie, Sandy, everybody, all the ladies. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from out of them or delivers him or her from out of them all. You know, this scripture, when you look at that kind of scripture, you tell yourself, oh my goodness, so we're going to have trouble. I thought they said this Christian walk was going to be trouble-free. Did anybody ever tell you that? Nope. Somehow they used to tell us, some people used to tell us that back home in those days, you know, very, very shady. So, maybe not shady, but not well-grounded in the Word of God. Some pastors used to tell us that, oh, no, once you get saved, everything is nice. You'll be like heaven coasting and just flowing through everything. Not true. This scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from out of them. Maybe just the ones on Mondays. Is that what it says? What about the Tuesday ones? The afflictions that come to you on a Wednesday morning, those are the ones that God is going to deliver. No, that's not what it says. Every single one of them. You know, like the Bible says also that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And like I said earlier on, that troubles happen to the sinners and the believers as well, and the non-sinners as well. But we have that hope that he will deliver us from out of them all. Amen? His way. Let your heart not be troubled. He will deliver. Amen? He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will rescue us because that's who he promised to be. Amen? So be comforted. Sometimes you might think, I just finished settling this problem. Another problem has come. You know, I just finished praying for that sister of mine, and then I hear my brother is going through this problem. Or I just finished paying this bill for this utility, and then the car is broken down, you know, and things just keep going on. But the Bible says he will deliver us from them all. Every single one of them, he will make a way. Praise God. Now, I'm going to round up here, and I think we should take time out in our own personal lives. I speak to myself as well. You know, I'm managing my own little IT business. And in the last, I might say in the last 3 months, I've been very, very busy. I tell you, super busy. And I can't catch up with the work. And I keep asking myself, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom to manage my time appropriately. I don't even have time to sometimes go for lunch while I'm working in the day. And the business is not at a point where I can hire someone yet. I always joke, I need a secretary, I need a driver, I need someone to deliver things, but I'm all that. I do all that myself, and it can be very difficult, but I just believe so well. I know, and the Lord has spoken to me that if I apply myself to more of his word, because the Bible also says it is him that gives me the power to make wealth. It's him that gives me the wisdom on how to make war with my hands. He will probably give me the wisdom to settle all these issues that I have that I can't seem to be able to juggle. And maybe because I'm doing it in my own strength, trying to run everywhere in every direction. But maybe I just need to spend more time. And you know, I tell myself, but Lord, I wish I could have 48 hours in a day. Then I can do all the work. But I need to come to that place where I start the day with God. And I've started doing that consciously now. I start the way with the day. And I say, Lord, whatever it is I'm called to. You know, when people call me and they have problems with their computers, even before I get to the office, I just say, Lord, I need your wisdom to solve this problem. I need your wisdom to solve this problem. I need your grace to be able to deal with this client. Lord, I need your wisdom and your total influence to even let the clients pay me after I've done the job. You know, so many issues that I have to just trust in God with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. So even as I share these scriptures and I share this whole message with you, it's for me. Amen? It speaks to me, it speaks to my heart, and I pray by God's grace that it speaks to you as well. And that we should all go away. You know, like when Pastor John was here, John Warwick was here, he shared scriptures from Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, it'll be good if one day, maybe I should make that even homework for everybody. We should all go and memorize Psalm 23 from the beginning to the end. Michelle is looking at me and saying, how can you do that? It's only 6 verses, or is it 7 verses? It is possible to do it. And I remember even when we were in high school, they actually made us do that. That we used to recite Psalm 23 every morning. And we used to have morning assemblies. It's not difficult. We should apply ourselves to the word of God so that God can say, yep, that's my guy. He knows my word. Whenever he comes to meet me, he comes to me with the word. And because of that, I will not leave him nor forsake him. Amen? You know, somebody shared this with me and I thought, how can you say that? This person said, you know that God has favorites. Does he? It's a very interesting way to look at it. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So do you think he's going to reward those who don't? I don't want to leave you in confusion. Everybody's looking at me like, oh, heresy, he's preaching. No, but that word says he rewards. So which means there's probably a level of rewarding that God is going to give you after you diligently seek him. Amen? We all might be under his grace. We all enjoy his mercy. We all partake of his goodness. Normal day to day, coasting, Sunday Christians, fine. But if you want to go to that next level, he will reward you if you diligently seek him. How many of you don't want to stay at that level of just the same old, but want to be those who would be diligently seeking the Lord, who would take time out to study the word, who would attend life groups, attend prayer meetings, be involved in what the church is doing. You know, study the notes after you're finished on Sunday afternoon and say, God, what do you want me to grasp from this message? You know, Pastor Philip is doing this series on Abraham. And one of the things he shared last week, which I thought, oh, praise God, was that we need to learn how to take up our weapons to fight. And the weapons of our warfare, part of them is the word of God. We need to know what the word of God says before we can fight with the word of God. We don't go fighting with sticks and stones and swords and all that, but we fight with the word of God. Amen? So please, I beseech you by the mercy of God, there will be a part three of this sermon sometime. You can't even remember the part one. Praise God. But we're going to have a part three sometime soon. And even as we leave here, I just pray that we will all take time to study the word of God, to let the word of God dwell in us richly. And you know, those are just some examples that I shared. Whatever it is that you might be going through, whatever area that might be, you might be asking God for his hand or to show you something, just look for scriptures on that. Just Google it. Use your computer to find scriptures about health or about healing or about direction, about wisdom, about fear, about hope, about anything. And God will show you where.